Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here again today to take you on another audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. We will complete the concealed influence of spirits on our thoughts and actions, questions 468 to 472. Then cover possessed, questions 473 to 480.
Enjoy.
Question 468. Do spirits whose influence is repelled by an individual's will finally give up on their attempts?
What else could they do? When they have nothing to do, they leave. Nevertheless, they attentively watch for a favorable moment, as the cat attentively watches the mouse.
Question 469. By what means can we neutralize the influence of evil spirits?
By doing good and placing all your trust in God, you repel their influence, and you destroy the power they desire to have over you. Guard yourselves against listening to the suggestions of spirits who excite evil thoughts in your mind. Those who incite discord and arouse in you all the evil passions. Above all, distrust spirits who flatter your pride, for they are attacking you at your weakest point. That is why Jesus teaches you to say in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Question 470. The spirits who seek to lead us into evil and who thus put our moral firmness to the test, have they received a mission to do this? And if it is in fact a mission for them to fulfill, will they be responsible for doing so?
Spirits never receive a mission to do evil. When they do evil deeds, it is by their own will, and they will have to suffer the consequences. God may let them test you, but never directly orders them to. It is your responsibility to repel them.
Question 471. When we experience a sensation of anguish, of indefinable anxiety, or inner satisfaction without a known cause, does it result from our physical disposition at the time?
It is almost always the effect of communications you have with spirits without even suspecting it, or those you have had with them during sleep.
Question 472. Are spirits who want to incite us to evil limited to taking advantage of the circumstances in which we find ourselves, or can they create such circumstances?
They may take advantage of a circumstance, but frequently they cause it, pushing you without your being aware of it towards the object of your ambition. Thus, for example, a man finds a quantity of money by the road. Spirits have not placed the money there, but they may have instilled in the man the thought of going in that direction. Then they suggest he keep the money, while others suggest he return it to its rightful owner. The same process happens with all other temptations.
Question 473. Can a spirit temporarily take over the corporeal envelope of a living person? In other words, can it enter an animate body and replace the spirit incarnated in it?
A spirit does not enter a body as you enter a house. Instead, it associates with an incarnate spirit who has its same defects and qualities, so that they can both act conjointly. Nevertheless, it is always the incarnate spirit who acts upon the matter enveloping it, and according to its own wishes. A spirit cannot replace the one who is incarnate, because the spirit is connected to the body until the time set for the end of its material existence.
Question 474. If there is no such thing as possession per se, that is, the cohabitation of two spirits in the same body, may a spirit nonetheless find itself dependent on another spirit so that it sees itself subjugated or obsessed by it to such a degree that its own will is in some way paralyzed?
Yes, and these are the truly possessed. You must understand, however, that this kind of domination never occurs without the participation of the one who suffers it, either through weakness or desire. Epileptics and insane individuals have often been taken as being possessed, but they are in need of a doctor rather than an exorcist.
Author's remarks for question 474. In its common acceptance, the word possession presumes the existence of demons, a category of beings of a depraved nature, and the cohabitation of one of these beings with the soul of an individual in his or her body. But since there are no demons in this sense, and since two spirits cannot simultaneously inhabit the same body, there can be no one who is possessed according to the idea normally attached to the word. By the expression possessed, one should only understand it to mean the absolute dependence of a soul in relation to the imperfect spirit who has subjugated it. Question 475. Can these persons by themselves repel such evil spirits and free themselves from their domination?
You can always rid yourself of any burden when you have a firm will.
Question 476. Couldn't it be the case that the obsession by an evil spirit is such that the subjugated person does not even perceive it? Couldn't a third person put an end to the subjugation? And in such a case, what role should he or she play?
If the individual is morally upright, his or her willpower may help by appealing to the cooperation of good spirits, because the more moral a person is, the more power that person has regarding imperfect spirits in order to repel them, and regarding good ones in order to attract them. Nevertheless, this third person will be completely powerless if the one who is subjugated does not cooperate. After all, there are persons who take delight in a dependence that satisfies their tastes and desires. In all cases, however, those who do not have a pure heart cannot have any influence whatsoever. Good spirits ignore them, and evil ones do not fear them.
Question 477. Are exorcism formulas at all effective against evil spirits?
No, when these spirits see anyone who takes such formulas seriously, they laugh and persevere.
Question 478. There are persons animated by good intentions, but who are obsessed nevertheless. What are the best means for them to free themselves from obsessing spirits?
Tire their patience, pay no attention to their suggestions, and show them that they are wasting their time. Then, when they see they can do nothing, they will withdraw.
Question 479. Is prayer an effective means for curing obsession?
Prayer is a powerful aid in everything, but you must realize that it is insufficient to simply mutter a few words to obtain what you desire. God helps those who act, not those who limit themselves merely to asking. Therefore, obsessed persons must do their part in order to destroy in themselves the cause that attracts evil spirits.
Question 480. What should be thought about the expulsion of demons spoken of in the Gospel?
That depends on the interpretation. If you mean by demon an evil spirit who subjugates an individual, when its influence is destroyed, it will truly be expelled. If you attribute an illness to a demon, when you have cured the sickness, you will also have expelled the demon. A thing may be true or false according to the meaning given to the words. The greatest truths may seem absurd when only the form is observed and when an allegory is taken for reality. Understand this well and try to remember it is because it is of universal application.